child in the distance, playing in the rain. The sweet sound of water flowing away. A construction worker coming home from work. Two parents and their children going to church. A happy little baby drools on your shirt. One extraordinary day. Let us have a world of ordinary people living life the way God wants us to. And if we have a world of ordinary people, extraordinary things will happen to me and you.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of FGM Stories, a podcast that hopes to share the experiences of girls and women living with the consequences of female genital mutilation, and also the field experiences of advocates who are working daily to ensure that FGM is completely eradicated and abandoned in this generation. Hi, I'm Oluwatosi Olariwaju, and it's a pleasure to have you join me on this episode. In the year 2017, April to be precise, I just returned from National Youth Service Camp and I started to watch a documentary. This documentary showed the process of female circumcision, as it is simply called. It showed the process, what it involved in details, people who do it and all of that. And in my head, I felt, this is harmful, this is barbaric, this is something that shouldn't be expressed, not knowing that I had actually been a victim of the same act. I walked up to my mom to ask her if I had experienced this. My head knew that yes, I had experienced it, but my heart felt like probably I would get a negative answer to my question. She told me yes, I was caught as a baby. Yes, the awareness was on then to tell women who just delivered not to cut their girls. But then, female circumcision was just a normal thing to do for a newly born baby. I felt really terrible. I felt really bad because owing to the documentary, I learned there were consequences for being caught. There were consequences for a woman or a girl who has gone through female circumcision, as it is softly called. I made up my mind I was going to join in on any advocacy that had to do with ending female genital mutilation. Female genital mutilation, as it is referred to, is any activity or any act that involves the removal in partial or total of the external female genitalia, or any injury at all that is done to the female genital organs, and it's mostly for cultural or non-medical reasons. Let me put this subtly so you understand. When you look at the external genital organs of a female, everything you can see on it, whatever harm, whatever process, whatever act that is done to alter the physical outlook for cultural or non-medical reasons is what is referred to as female genital mutilation. There are various types of female genital mutilation. We have type 1, we have type 2, we have type 3, we have type 4, according to classifications. And type 1 has to do with a partial or total removal of the clitoris. Now let me bring this down to you. The clitoris is the most sensitive and erectile part of the female genitals. That is the very tiny skin area that you see. Upon touch, it responds to stimuli very, very fast. It is responsible for stimulation of the female sexual organs during sex. So when this is cut, you know what that means. Less stimulation for the female during sex. The type 2 talks about excision. That involves removing the clitoris like it's done in type 1, and then taking off a part of the skin that surrounds the clitoris. That's called the lips of the vagina. It's harmful, really, cutting the clitoris and then taking off the lips or the skin that surrounds the clitoris. Talking about type 3, that's like the most dangerous type of FGM. It is called infibulation. This type of FGM involves type 1, type 2, and something that is even more dangerous. It involves taking of the clitoris, the lips surrounding the vagina, and then sewing together whatever it is that is left off and leaving a very tiny one for menstruation and urination. When you do this to a female, apparently you leave her with no choice than to live in pains all the rest of her life. Because we all know menstruation is a very painful process most times for most women according to their body nature. So imagine leaving a very tiny hole for menstruation and urination to go through every time there is pain, there is torture, there is trauma involved in this process. Then we come to type 4, that's the unclassified. It has to do with anything at all. Some tribes, they do ironing. Some tribes, they flatten. Some tribes, they use the thumb and the index finger to rub the clitoris, to deaden the nerves and the cells that are responsible for stimulation during sex. Over time, I've realized that this act is actually entrenched in cultural reasons, traditions. There are people that are proving that it's religious. But we found out that most of the major religions of the world do not actually support female genital mutilation. And it's basically a cultural and traditional thing. We've also realized that most of the people who perform this act are traditional birth attendants, midwives, and local nurses, as they're referred to. And they do these acts for so many reasons, really. One of the reasons why these acts is actually very, very rampant is for the sake of keeping the women from being promiscuous. There is this myth that has to do with promiscuity and women and FGM. Now, once a woman is caught, she would not be promiscuous because apparently she does not get as much stimulation for sex as normal. And there is also this act that has to do with keeping the woman virgin till a marriage. There is also the myth that talks about having to preserve and beautify the external genitals of the women. So many myths have been uncovered in the process of ending female genital mutilation over the years. And even from the holders of culture, the stakeholders in local communities, kings and traditional rulers, it's been found that FGM is basically entrenched in myths that are actually not true and not real. Because research has shown over the years that most of the reasons why FGM is done is actually not true. And they are just myths that have been made to hold people in this culture and to pass it down from generation to generation. There are so many consequences of FGM. There are immediate effects and there are long-term effects. But whosoever has gone through FGM, there is always this fear of what do I get to experience as a survivor of FGM. Immediate risk involves bleeding, pain, shock, infections. A whole lot of times, because of the way FGM is done, girls and women get infected with diseases such as HIV/AIDS because the same knife is used for the girls. If 100 girls are cut in a day, the same knife will be used to cut the 100 girls without sterilization. And for women who have undergone FGM as a young girl, we've realized that most times they have to go through cesarean section to be able to deliver children themselves. They go through prolonged labor, they experience obstetric tears, postpartum hemorrhage, blood loss in measures that could actually be avoided, difficult labor, stillbirth and early neonatal death, decreased lubrication during sexual intercourse, reduced sexual harassment, decreased sexual satisfaction, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and most times, FGM actually leads to death. Yes, FGM kills. It's actually a very, very harmful process. And over time, there has been so much work and awareness, sensitization being done by donor agencies, by non-governmental agencies, by initiatives and individuals to ensure that this practice is brought to an abrupt end, a complete eradication and elimination, a total abandonment in this generation. In subsequent episodes, so you would be able to hear the experiences of women who have had their fair share of the consequences of FGM, an act that was done on them most often than not without their consent. FGM is a violation of the rights of girls and women to sexual and reproductive health. FGM is a gender-based violence. FGM needs to be stopped in our generation. If you would like to share your story on FGM Stories, you can reach out by sending a mail to fgmstories.ng@gmail.com and the team will take it up from there. I still remain your host, Oluwadosin Olaraju. I'll see you on the next episode.